Thank you, Stephanie. That was a blessing. I enjoyed that. That was a great song. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 10. That is our text. Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I want to talk to you today about the amazing grace of God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the law. Last week, we talked about law, grace, and sons, and how the two work together. But today, I just want to key on the amazing grace of God. By the way, any Christian here today could say much of what Paul says in verse 10 there. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What an amazing thing to think about the grace of God. So I want to talk about the amazing grace of God. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today. Certainly, if there's someone here who's not saved, they don't know about that grace. Maybe they've heard a message or maybe read some things in the scripture, but they've not trusted Christ. They've not had that grace in their lives. And I pray that, God, no one would leave here without Christ, that no one would leave here lost. And I pray that Christians today, we would each one just think about the amazing, amazing grace of God today. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a powerful, powerful verse, really a powerful passage as we think about the gospel being there in verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And of course, therein is the gospel. He says in verse 1, "I declare unto you the gospel," the good news. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. That's good news. I just preach for the shepherds, and I'm always pretty wound up after the shepherds. They work you. They really do. But I talked to them about with God nothing should be impossible. And you can imagine they got pretty excited. And we talked about Jesus dying on the cross and talked about Him being raised from the dead. And we got happy. We really did. We got pretty excited in there. And it's amazing, just amazing, to think about what God did for us. He died. He was buried. He rose again so we could be saved. He paid the price, as we talked about last couple of weeks. We talked about the law and how the law of the Lord is perfect. And that law, though, shows us we're not perfect. The perfection of the law shows the imperfection of man. The perfection of the law shows that you and I fall short. And that's what God says. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, you may be a good person. You may do a lot of good things. But you still come short of the glory of God. That's why man cannot save himself. That's why man cannot do enough good works to save himself. Because we fall short of the glory of God. And when we recognize that our good works are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah, in the sight of God, they're filthy rags. There's no way in the world we could do anything to get or to earn our way to heaven. It is not possible. And so you may be a good person today. You may be a religious person. You may have grown up in church, gone to church all your life. And you need to realize today that all of that, no work, no amount of work that you and I do can get us to heaven. God had to provide a way, or we would not go to heaven. And so because God loved us, and because God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that was the only way that man could possibly be saved. And but everything ties together with the amazing grace of God. And it really is. It is unbelievable that God would do that for you and I. And I love the song, Amazing Grace. In fact, I heard a couple of my basketball players singing Amazing Grace recently, and Drew and Brandon, I believe it was. I'm not sure if Ryan was singing or not, but thought about having them come up here and sing it. But the way they sang it went something like this: Amazing Grace. And they were really doing a pretty good job. Look at Drew, he's bowing his head, closing his eyes. But actually, they did a pretty good job. But isn't it amazing, that song, how many ways that song has been sung and how many times we've heard it sung? I mean, we've sung it in church. Always Wednesday night, it's a top request, 244. And, you know, people request that song. I don't know how many funeral services. It seems like graveside, we sing Amazing Grace all the time. I I don't know how long I've been doing that. I just love to have a little group there. Doesn't matter what the weather is. Could be raining. We're gathered trying to get around that tent. You know, it could be snowing. Could be a beautiful sunny day, and we're gathered there in that little tent, and there's a little, the casket there and everything, and it's such a hard time, but you just sing Amazing Grace, and all of a sudden, it's still a hard time, but it's not as hard because it's just thinking about God's amazing grace. And really, when you think about grace, and I have this illustration. I don't think I've ever done this in church. I know I've done this in chapel before, trying to get young people to understand grace. I just want to demonstrate that, and I really felt bad. I looked in my wallet, and I was hoping to see a dollar, but I didn't have one. So I got to use something else, and that just really is hard on me. But let's see. Who's a sinner? Where's Nolan? Come on up here, Nolan. Nolan's a tall sinner, all right, so you can see him real well, all right? And Nolan's he's a good guy to use. He just goes along with anything, and he's just so calm, cool, and collected. So anyway, Nolan, he is a thief, all right? That's his sin, all right? Are you a thief? Thank you, Nolan. All right, now, this will end after today, though, okay? He goes to school tomorrow and steals out everybody's locker. Pastor said? No, it's not okay. All right, so here's the thing. We're going to make a law today, all right? Let's make a law that anyone who's a thief is punishable by, 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. How's that sound? Who wants to swing the whip? Several volunteers. All right, I noticed that. Linda, put your hand down. Okay, no, you don't do that. But anyway, all right, we're gonna do some kind of punishment. We'll make him, I'll tell you what, he has to hold his breath for an hour underwater in the baptistry. All right. Anyway, so that's a punishment. We have a punishment for stealing, all right? And so if anybody steals, they are going to be punished. It's going to be a terrible punishment. And all in favor, aye?
Aye.
That was weak. You want people to steal from you? All right. Anyway. All right. So anyway, so I get to talking and everything. And our resident thief, he probably is going to steal because that's what he's prone to do. Because we learned about that. That's our flesh. And he wants to buy something, lunch or something like that, buy something for his mother. And anyway, is a great, but anyway, what's our punishment for? It's punishment. We're going to punish stealing. And oh no, isn't this a great illustration? Where's my $5 bill? Where'd my money go? What? Oh, you mean he took it? I can't believe that. I just can't believe you took my five. You took my money. Is he a thief, Brother Tim? I trust you. Did he take my money? You know, when it comes to money things, I would think you would be the... Yeah, when it comes to money, I think you would really be paying attention to that. Brother Carpenter, did he... I trust Brother Carpenter. Did he take my money? What's our... Brother Hollins, you used to be on the police force. What's our punishment? It's punishment, right? It's bad. Real bad. All right, because you took my money. Let me see. Give me my money back. He did. I can't... Is he guilty? How many of you agree he's guilty? Okay, he is guilty. He deserves punishment. Now, here's the thing, all right? Here's mercy. Mercy says, all right, buddy, you are guilty, but I'm going to forgive you. Now, by the way, isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. That God would forgive us. See, we're guilty. We sinned against God, and we're guilty. Now, that is mercy. Mercy says, I forgive you. We're not going to punish you. Isn't that good? Okay, no cat and nine tails. We're not going to drown you in the baptistry. I don't know how we'd explain that to the insurance company. But we're not going to run over him with a car or a bus or anything like that. I am going to show mercy. We're not throwing him in the dumpster. You obviously need to read your Bible about mercy. But anyway, now, that's mercy. Mercy says you deserve punishment, but I'm not going to punish you. That's mercy. Mercy says I forgive you. Now, here's the great thing about, well, it's one of the great, it's not as great when I'm showing grace, but it's great when God shows grace. Okay, mercy says I'm not going to punish you. Here's what grace does. Keep that. You can sit down. Now, that's grace. Now, folks, honestly, I don't even understand that. I've preached for years. I've sung the song Amazing Grace. I sing that song often and tears run down my cheeks because I cannot begin to understand. I can almost get in the realm of mercy because I've shown mercy a few times. But I just can't hardly grasp God's grace. Because I deserve punishment in hell. And God says, I died on the cross so you could be forgiven of your sins. I died on the cross. And when Jesus hung on the cross, and I asked the shepherds, I said, what did he say? It is finished. And he also said, Father, forgive them. And he said, I forgive you. And I kind of grasp it. It's hard for me to even grasp that. But then he says, and guess what? I want you to be my son. I want to give you a mansion in heaven. I want to give you eternal life. And the criminal, the sinner, God says, I give you eternal life. That's everybody who's going to be in heaven. Do you understand that? It's just all people that received God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. I've heard people say, well, you know, I deserve this, or I deserve that. In fact, we live in a land that, you know, more and more people, you know, we deserve this. We deserve our rights, and we ought to. And the truth of the matter is, you know, most people don't even understand what they're saying when they say we deserve or we deserve or we deserve. But the truth is, I think every Christian here, those that are saved, we can all agree, we don't deserve God's grace. We just do not deserve his grace. Okay, so if he shows us mercy and just, we just don't go to hell. We just poof, we're annihilated. We might begin to just sort of understand that. But instead, we have a mansion. Instead, we get to be on streets of gold. Instead, we get to be with Jesus for all eternity in heaven's glory and go through the gates of pearl and be part of have his inheritance and be a child of the King before we even get there. And he blesses us and his grace, it just goes on and on in our lives. And that's why today, my friend, it's amazing grace. The amazing, amazing grace of God. Let me just show you why I think it's amazing grace. Number one, it's an amazing pardon. An amazing pardon. You know, have you ever thought about every sin that we commit is against God? Every sin. A little lie, a little cheating, a little, you know, the wrong thoughts. I mean, your good sins are against God and your bad sins are against God. Now, I'm just being facetious because all sin is bad. But every sin is against God. Every sin. It's not that just some sins are against. Every sin is against God. Everything we do wrong. I mean, you may wrong this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. You may talk bad about that person. You may talk bad about all these folks and individual after individual. But that's just each one is offended maybe, or each one is affected by your sin. But everything we do is against God. Every sin. Every wrong thing we do is against God. It's us saying, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do every time. Every sin. I mean, you take one person and imagine in just one day how many times that happens. Then take it how many days in the week, and then how many weeks in a month, and how many months in a year, and how many years in a life. And you just think about all the times you've just shaken your fist at God and said, I will do what I want to do. Now, I know we don't usually say it that way. We just kind of do what we want to do. Every sin is against God. I mean, when somebody wrongs you one time, you look at them funny. Right? Imagine how many times you've wronged God. I mean, if Nolan really stole from me, I mean, I'm going to have a hard time with it. I'm going to wonder, okay, what's this guy? By the way, don't ever steal from me. Just ask, okay? And I'll tell you no. But how many times have we offended our God? Now, by the way, I'm talking about before I got saved, I offended him constantly. I wonder how many times I've offended him since I got saved. I'm talking about somebody who says, we're talking about the flesh on Sunday nights, and the Apostle Paul said, I want to do right, but I do wrong. I don't want to do wrong, but I do wrong. You know, and he was from, and I know what he's talking about because I'm the same way. And how many times have I done that? Understand this. Our sin is against God. Our sin is, okay, you may offend this person. You may do wrong to that person, but everything, all of it adds up, and it's all against God. You see, we crucified Jesus. It was my sin. It was your sin. We crucified Jesus. Boy, those Romans, you know, that's a terrible thing that they crucified. No. Boy, those Jews, I'll tell you what, that's terrible. Those Jews, they... No. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans. It was you and me. It was us. We crucified him. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I'm the one that hung him on the cross. Don't ever get the idea, oh, you know, we come to church, we're all squeaky clean, and we're all, oh, you know, we're just, boy, I'll tell you, we're so excited about the things of God. But come on, probably already this morning you told God no. Already this morning you said, I'm going to do what I want to do. Already this morning in the car, unkind words, things were said. Already this morning, something was done, something was thought. Something rude to one of God's people, you know. I mean, just already this morning, it's like, come on. It's amazing, this grace that God would pardon us. It's amazing. It's an amazing pardon. Of all of God's creation, we're the ones that disobey. He says to the wind and the sea, peace, be still, and it is. He says to the whale, swallow the preacher, and it does. All of creation obeys God, except for who? Me. You. Yeah. I said a while ago, when somebody, just, all they have to do, maybe look at you wrong, you get bent out of shape. We literally, by our actions, often, we shake our fist in our God's face, and we say, I will not do what you said, God. I want my way. Wow. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's an amazing pardon. You think about today. Boy, God got something good when I got saved. No, you got something good. You got God's amazing grace because it's an amazing pardon. That's why it's called the gospel, which means good news. That's why we have good news to give. That's why we should be able to rejoice. I like that choir opener, rejoice, because we have so much to rejoice about. It's God's amazing. The amazing grace of God because of the amazing pardon that we receive by being saved. It was so precious over in the shepherd. There was one of the workers, came from one of the homes or something like that. And as I was preaching, I was watching, and God was really, really speaking to their heart. And when the invitation was given, that lady trusted Christ as her Savior. And just such a blessing to watch as you know, it starts to sink in. Wow, God will forgive me. Come on, there's people all over this world living with the guilt of sin. It just presses on them and pushes them down. And to finally hear the truth, the gospel, the good news that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And we can be pardoned from our sin. We can be totally, totally, completely not guilty. That's amazing. But that's the amazing grace of God. Number one, it's because it's an amazing pardon. Number two, because it's an amazing persuasion. I think about this. I thought about me before I got saved. I don't know how you were, but I was a real pain. Honestly, it's amazing persuasion that God would talk us into it. Amen? That God would talk us into it. That God would persuade you and I to be saved. That God would convict us, that we would ever, Brother Korea, that we would ever say, oh, you know, I get away, God. I don't have time for this. What do you mean you don't have time? What do you mean you don't have time? God says, I'm offering you eternal life. You deserve hell. You deserve punishment for the rest of your existence. You ought to be punished in hell. And God says, I offer you freedom, and I offer you eternal life. And you and I say, I don't have time right now. You know, like Felix said, when I have a convenient season, I'll talk about it. I don't have time for that right now. We did. We said, I don't want that. I got my own plans. I got my own ideas. To me, it's amazing persuasion. It really is. Conviction's an amazing thing to me. You know what the Bible says? Isaiah 1. Come now and let us what? Reason. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. Come now and let us reason together. What's God say? God says, let's talk about this. Can you imagine? Let's talk about this. Let's say, so Nolan, you know, he's stolen the $5. He's supposed to be guilty. I said, okay, we're not going to throw you in jail today. We're going to let you off. And that's all. But then I look at him and say, Nolan, I want you to have that $5. You just go ahead and you keep that $5. He says, no, talk to me later. Talk to me later on. That's what we did. Even worse. God's offering eternal life. Huh? How many, first time you heard the gospel, you got saved? Anybody? First time you heard it, you got saved. There's one, two, two, two. Out of all this crap, two. Are you listening? You know what we did? We said, I'll deal with it later on. Well, I'd like you to be free. I'd like you not to be guilty. I'll make it so you're not guilty. I'll make it so you're not only not guilty, I'll make it so that you're my child. I'll make it so you have a home in heaven. I'll make it so that you have an ivory palace. I'll make it so that you have a mansion. I'll make it so that you'll never die. Isn't that amazing? And so God says, let's reason. Let's think about this, okay? Let's talk about this. Let's reason. By the way, if a human uses sound reasoning, they will be persuaded. It's just using sound reasoning. You know, we turned against him. He wants to save us. That's amazing to me. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who are guilty. We're the ones who deserve hell, but he wants to reason with us. He'll convict us. We'll sit in service after service, and conviction will come to our heart. And he'll be reasoning with us, and his Holy Spirit will be dealing with us. You know, I've had people say, I'm getting tired of all this conviction. Oh, you need to thank God day in and day out that there is conviction. You need to thank God. I remember sitting there, sweat would pour down. And it just was unbelievable. And I'd think, why do I put myself under all this? Instead of saying, thank you so much, God, for not giving up on me. It's amazing persuasion. It really is. Amazing, amazing persuasion. God wants the sinner to know that he loves him. God wants you to know that he loves you today. God wants you to know that he's going to show mercy. God wants you to know that he's not only going to show mercy, he's going to show grace. How foolish we are to ever ignore God. Wait a minute, though. I did it before I got saved. I don't know how many times. I know of three major times when I said, I'll deal with it another time. But there were other times, I'm sure, that God spoke to my heart and I put him off. You know, but he just keeps working. God is not willing. The Bible says he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. We get frustrated. I mean, you know, as soul winners, well, somebody will put us off and get out of here. I don't want to hear you blankety blank. You know, and we'll hear all these things. And I'll say, you know, get lost. I don't want to talk about all this. That we think, God, just go ahead and kill him. But God in heaven is saying, oh, but I love him. I wish they'd just reason with me. I wish they would just listen to me. It's unbelievable that we would ever ignore God. He's provided salvation, and he wants to convince man that that's the only way he can go to heaven. Why would man? Pride, unbelief, whatever. And yet God keeps seeking for that time of reasoning. You know what I think, though? I think it not only is there for salvation, but I think it's there as God speaks to our hearts as Christians, too. I think he says, why don't you listen to me? Oh, the world pulls. You know? I mean, it just pulls on us. Our own flesh wants to, you know, get back in that old life. We mock the Egyptians or the Israelites because they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We think, how foolish are they? Why would they want to go back? And we do the same thing. I know it's not melons, leeks, and garlics, but it's the world. And boy, it pulls and it pulls. And some of our teenagers, they struggle with this all the time. You know, just constant. I want to go back. Why? And God says, but please reason with me. I want to talk to you. And that's God's grace. God's grace. Hey, Christian, you know, Uzzah just touched the Ark of the Covenant. You know? Hey, let's put this thing on a cart instead of the way God said to transport it. Let's do it our way. We've got our own way. And sure enough, boy, that thing is going around on the ground, and it's not smooth like our roads. Well, roads in Ohio. But anyway, it's not smooth like we're used to. And sure enough, they're pushing that thing on that cart. Man said, we'll build a cart. God said, I told you how to carry that thing. And it's someone that started to fall. And Uzzah just touched it. Dead. Dead. I just wonder, even today, just today, how many Christians did something worse than that already, just today. And yet, your heart's still beating. Amen. Lungs are still filling up. Exhale. You're still alive. And that amazes me. God says, I'm going to give you another chance. You go to church, and I'm going to speak to your heart. God says, I'll give you another Sunday school class. You go, I'll speak to your heart. God says, I'll give you Sunday night. You go, I'm gonna speak to you again. He said, hey, Christian, reason. Reason with me. I love you. Satan hates you. The world hates you. I love you. I've got a wonderful life for you. Wow. That just amazes me. Because it is the amazing grace of God. Amazing pardon, amazing persuasion, conviction. Boy, don't ever. You know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But I will also say this, whom the Lord loveth, he convicteth. And conviction usually comes before chastening. Praise God. Praise God for that. Number three, it's amazing power. The amazing grace of God. There is amazing power. Power in that grace of God. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. By the way, that's power. That is power. He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. That's power. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again, it's amazing power. That God not only forgives us, gives us a home in heaven, but watch me now. He changes us. He makes us new. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus did many good things. And he did many good works. But he was inquisitive as to how to get to heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Well, how can I be born? You can't be born again. He actually asked the question, can I enter again? Can I go through birth again? Like, no, that's not it. That's not it. You need to be born from above. You need to be born into my family. Well, God does that. That's his salvation. That's what happens when you get saved. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. I read this all the time, but look at it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man, that would be any man. That's the drunk. That's the abuser. That's any man. That's the guy that cusses and swears. That's any man. That's a religious person. It's any man. If any man, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter how dirty they are, doesn't matter how bad they've been. Are you listening? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's Nicodemus. That's a religious man. Nicodemus. What? It's also Paul, a blasphemer. Are you listening? Any man. Paul's the one says this. If any man be in Christ, he, as he says it, I guarantee he said, that's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord. Amen. I mean, he's excited. If any man, Nicodemus, can you? Yeah. And if you're going to get to heaven, you have to be new. You're going to have to be a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's amazing power that does that. I cannot explain that. There's all kinds of reform programs in America. AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, and many kind of drug things, and all kinds of different programs in America for people to get reformed. But the problem with those kinds of programs is they lack one thing, and that's power. Because man doesn't need reformed as much as man needs transformed. And the difference is the power of God Almighty. I'm not saying those programs aren't good. I mean, it's probably the best that man can come up with, but the truth is, man cannot transform a person. God makes us new. The word regeneration is simply regene. That's not talking about Levi's. Amen? It's talking about regene. I'm a new person. I'm new. I'm born anew. It has to be that way. We have to be born again. We cannot be the same. We have to be a new creature. We have to be a new person. Why? Because there's no sin in heaven. That's why. We're new. We're new people. Paul said, I am what I am, but it's the grace of God that I am what I am. He said, I used to persecute the church. Now I preach to the church. Isn't that great? I mean, it's amazing. He said in verse 9, he said, for I am the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul the saint was Saul the sinner. And the difference is the power of God Almighty. I'm shocked and amazed every time I get up and preach because I know what I was. You say, preacher, you ought to forget about all that. And I have forgotten a lot of it, some by choice and some not by choice. I forget yesterday sometimes. And yesterday's a good thing to forget. But the truth of the matter is, I'm never going to forget. What a change. What a change. What a difference is made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Why? I've been changed. Some of you, I think you forgot you've been changed. You get that way. It's easy. And you forgot the amazing power that took place. See, I know. I remember. I remember kneeling at the bed. Honestly, the room didn't spin. I've had people tell me the room spun. I've had people tell me a cloud came down. I had one lady tell me the corner of the room was spinning and she was sucked into it. I've had every kind of thing told to me. None of that happened to me, but I'll tell you this, something did happen to me. When I prayed, when I called on Jesus, I'm telling you this, he did save my soul. He did regene me. He did make me a new person. And it's not anything that I've done. It's something that he did. It's his power. It's his power. But it's the amazing grace of God. I don't even know why he would. Of all the things for God to show his power, that he would do it for me. It's amazing. It's the amazing grace of God because it's an amazing pardon. It's amazing persuasion. Number three, it's amazing power. But number four, it's an amazing price. Well, so how are you going to get this salvation? How are you going to get this amazing grace? How can I have this thing you're talking about, preacher? Well, I have an amazing price for you. I really do. And it really is. The gift of God. Gift? Did you say gift? Boy, we like F-R-E-E, don't we? We really do. I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing how that gets our attention. Ad after ad after ad, and we're looking for those words, that one word, right? By the way, nothing is free except one thing, and that's this gift. An amazing price. He did the work, and he just says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come now, he said. Let us reason. Come now. Come. Come to me. Sounds so simple. Always reminds me of Grandma when I think about and read, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I always think of Grandma. And we'd go to Grandma's, especially in the summertime, they had all the windows open. They didn't, air conditioning was a modern thing back then. And I remember it took us years to get Grandma to use a microwave. She just wouldn't do it. It was spooky to her. And Grandma, but she had that, whatever that thing is. It went pressure cooker, that's it. And she had one of those, and I mean, I longed to hear that thing, because that always meant good food coming, always. And you know, Grandma, she would spend hours in the kitchen. Oh, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was Thanksgiving. Didn't matter what it was. I mean, it was almost like you go to Grandma's, it's a holiday. Doesn't matter. I mean, Grandma rolled the noodles. I mean, she rolled that out with a rolling pin, and she cut them in the strips and everything and wadded up a little bit and gave us, and we'd throw them up in the air and eat them, and oh, man, that was good stuff. And I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. But Grandma, I mean, everything. And she'd work. She had to have started early in the morning. Of course, for them, early in the morning was early. You know, I mean, 4 o'clock in the morning, Grandma's up. She's starting that thing, and boy, we'd get out of the car, and you could smell it. I mean, it just was the whole yard. You know, it's a farm out on the farm, I mean, Grandma's cooking, and she's in there, and you know she's been working hard. And we'd go in and sit down. Grandpa would tell some story or something like that, and we'd talk a little while. And pretty soon, it was just like this. I mean, all that work, everything's going on, and all of a sudden, it's like this. Everybody's waiting because you're smelling everything, and it's this simple. Come on, just her little voice. Come on. That was it. Now to you, to me, that's all it was. Just come on. She'd been working for hours preparing that meal. But for me, it was just, come on. I can still hear her voice today. And you know what that meant? That meant, come on. That's what it meant. And that's what we did. And we just, you know, I mean, it's just, there's nothing to do. Nothing you have to do. Nothing you have to pay. There was nothing. I mean, what'd you do, preacher? I sat down and I come on. Amen. That's why I just, come on. She said, come on. Come on. You know, hey, Dad, come on. Hey, sister, come on. Let's go. Come on means come on. God says, come to me. What do I have to do? Just come to me. Yeah, but surely there's some great work. No. Like Naaman the leper. Here's what you do, Naaman. Just do what God said to do. That's what you do. You just come on. That's what you do. Okay, well, I got to dip in the, I have to dip in the Jordan. Yeah, you have to dip 7 times. Just do what God said to do. Come on. Naaman said, I'm not, hey, wait a minute, I got to do something. Let me conquer something. Let me do some great thing. Let me reach into my wallet. No, Naaman, you can't, it isn't going to work that way. You just do what God said to do. Just, come on, just do what God said. Naaman said, oh, no, I know, I've got a better. Naaman, do you want to be free of your leprosy or not? That's it. Do you want to be free of it or not? Well, yeah, I do. Okay, come on! And he did. At the age of 17, I did. Oh, glory to God. What did it cost you, preacher? It was a gift. It's a gift. Amazing price. Free. To me. Number 5, it's amazing. Not only amazing price, but amazing patience. God's amazing patience. Look at Matthew 23:37. I already talked about he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That amazes me. Matthew 23, verse 37. When you think about what all God puts up with. Matthew 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Watch what he says. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Watch what he says. And ye would not. you would not. You would not. Amazing, amazing patience. I mentioned amazing persuasion, how God keeps working on us. But I had to add this just as its own point. How he puts up with us. His patience. I mean, it's amazing we have a choice. But his patience. How many times did you refuse? And his patience. How many times as a Christian are you refusing? His patience. It's just amazing. He still says, come on. You're here today and lost. He says, come on. Come to me. Now one day that'll run out. You won't have that opportunity. It's amazing patience. The amazing grace of God, an amazing pardon, amazing persuasion, amazing power, amazing price, amazing patience. But the last thing, and I close with this, is it's an amazing product. Honestly, it is. It really is. 1 Timothy 1, just two more verses, two more passages. 1 Timothy chapter 1. An amazing, amazing product. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're now a bus worker. You used to work for the devil, and now you work for God. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a you're not a junior church worker. You'd be there. You get to work in a church nursery taking care of little children so parents can hear the word of God. I mean, you get to clean in the church. You get to serve God in some other capacity. Maybe you work with 2 and 3 year olds, or you work in master clubs, or whatever it may be. And I mean, come on, that ought to be amazing to you. It really should. It is to me. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." It's an amazing product. Paul, who was Saul. Do you understand that Saul, on his way to Damascus to persecute a church like this, to kill Christians. Saul was there when Stephen was stoned. Yeah. Gave the order. Just try to imagine the product that God not only shows us mercy, but then he shows us grace. And in his grace, he allows us to serve him. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to serve God. I remember, and I give this illustration a lot, but when we first went to Marian Baptist Temple, I was a new Christian, hadn't been saved real long. And I remember the pastor asking for volunteers. And we were sitting about the middle of the church. And I remember him needing volunteers for different things. And I thought, wow, he's just going to ask people to raise their hands? I mean, I'd have been shocked at the little sign-up sheets we passed around. But I couldn't believe it. I thought, how are they qualified? And honestly, it amazed me. I was very young. I was probably just 18, maybe 18 and a half years old. And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. I mean, he's just asking for anybody can do this, huh? And it started to hit me that if anybody can do it, I can do it. I was in shock. I could not believe that I could serve God. But it finally hit me that, and by the way, when he would ask for a show of hands, I just always thought everybody behind me was raising their hand. I really did. Brother Chase, I'll never forget the day he needed somebody to paint the swing set. And you've heard this story. And it was an ACE school, and they needed the swing set painted red, white, and blue. And there I sat. I mean, I still had my long hair, but I'm telling you, I thought, wow, this is something I can do. And as soon as he said, we need a volunteer to paint this, I mean, I was up. And I mean, I was up. Oh! Because I wanted to beat everybody. I didn't know nobody else raised their hand. I didn't realize you outgrow that. But I'll never forget being out there, about 40-degree weather, and the guy told you, the guy said, just take a rag, and because the poles are round, take a rag and dip it in the paint and just put it on like that. And that works. And it gets not only on the pole, but it gets pretty much all over you too. And I remember being out there, and it was cold. Wind was blowing. My hair was getting, it's hard to believe, really, that I had hair. But it was getting all messed up and everything. And I went in, I had paint all over me. But people saluted when I came in. They sang the Star Spangled Banner. But I'm serious. I was a mess. And I saw some teen guys from the school there. And they looked at me and they saw me. And I mean, I was really, my hair, it was unique. The wind was blowing real hard. And I had red, white, and blue all over me. And one of them looked and said, it won't be long. He'll be doing something in this church. And he'll have his hair cut. And I just looked at him like, what they're talking about. And I looked in the mirror, you know, and it was a mess. But I just remember thinking, wow, I got to serve God. I got to paint the swing set. I was so proud. I mean, I went home and got Brenda and showed her the swing set. Of course, she could have seen it just looking at me. But anyway, I close with this. Back to our text. Please think about this. Verse 10. Paul's excited. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Those are some of the most convicting words, if you really think about them. The grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, you know, when God showed me grace, first he showed me mercy. I'm not being punished for my sin. And then God showed me grace, and he gave me eternal life. He gave me a home in heaven. He gave me riches and riches and riches. He gave me, I'm a new creature, and he let me be in the ministry. And he said, you know what? What he did for me, it's not in vain. I'm going to do something for him. And that's what I challenge you with this morning, folks. Let's do something for him, because of the grace. Let it not be in vain. I think about folks that get saved and they're all excited, but then that fizzles out. And I think about that verse right there. Well, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I know. Well, I got a mansion. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a new creature. I know you are. But I think Paul's talking about something a whole lot deeper. Take the grace that God's given you and do something for God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one talking, no one looking. How many here today would say, preacher, I am saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I died right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand as a testimony of that. You know you're saved, no doubt about it. You know you're going to heaven. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point anyone out. But I just wonder if there's someone here today that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. How many Christians would say, preacher, as a Christian, God has spoken to my heart today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. Slip it up. Pray for me as a Christian. God's dealing with me about something. Is the grace God gave you, is it in vain? Raise your hand, Christian. Anyone else, pray for me as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation, please. Help us, Lord, to be able to say with Paul that the grace that was bestowed upon us is not in vain. Please, God, help us to take the new life that you've given and use it for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.